This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. So, we worried we wouldn't be back after all this time away? Well, worry, such an interesting thing. Such an interesting thing, worrying. You know, you don't have to spend all your time worrying, or do you? What is worrying about? You want it nice and simple? Chronic worry is about the need to control. A person who worries is a person who is dying to control. The questions become, what are they trying so hard to control? Well, if you're worried about your landlord raising the rent, are you trying to control the rent? Are you trying to control your landlord? Or are you trying to control you and the feelings you have about it? If you've ever thought of yourself as a worrywart, that's the expression they have for it. It's kind of a cute expression. One who worries too much, then maybe you're no stranger to worry. And if you consider yourself a worrier, you also no stranger to the phrase, what if? What if I need to root canal? What if she asks where I've been? What if I get caught? What if I don't do well? What ifing is a worry wart's first line of defense against things going wrong. Things like getting sick, make a mistake, messing up, being caught off guard, and feeling humiliated or embarrassed are just a few of the many things that people worry about. You worry about your kids. You worry about yourself. You worry about your body. You worry about your mind. There's something funny about the worry. You know, I don't think the average animal out there in the world worries so much. I don't think the average dog sits around and worries about what's going to happen, or the average cat. What happened to us? A very interesting article about weather came about, talking about the days before we learned about the weather. Before we learned we could predict the weather. We could predict a thunderstorm, a hurricane, and different scientific methods that we found for different ways of weighing and seeing and understanding and predicting the weather. Before we predicted the weather, there was no worrying about the weather. Nowadays, people worry about the weather. There are people selling umbrellas on dry days. There are people who are worried about hurricanes. They're worried about floods. They're worried about coldness. They're worried about heat. Before we learned so much about the weather, you used to go outside and just deal with whatever it was. Oh, I should have dressed in layers today. It's after the fact, but you did fine anyway. Weather is only weather. But weather becomes one of those things that we put up at you and we say, here's something else to try to control. Try to control the weather. Try to control God. What are we trying to control? What are you so worried about? Part of what they say is that the primary cause for people who worry a lot, we're going to say it's two. We're going to say that there's a basic physiological phenomenon called anxiety. And one of the things that they say people have is called generalized anxiety disorder. A generalized anxiety disorder is a disorder where you feel anxiety almost all the time all over your body. Okay. Worry occupies 80% of generalized anxiety disorder. 80%. So in other words, if you didn't worry, you wouldn't be anxious. Interesting question. Phobias. All phobias are a form of worry. Phobias make you nervous. You worry about the phobia. Phobias, fears, anticipations. They found some chemical stuff that helps people. They found that if they give you certain drugs, certain amount of your worries will go away. But they found even bigger than that. The people who worry the most are afraid to cry. The people who are worried the most are afraid to feel deep, deep feelings. They could feel, but they can't feel deeply. They feel, but they think themselves out of feeling. Worry is a way of escaping your human emotion. Yep. It really gets kind of simple. You're either going to think or feel. And if you feel vulnerable, one of the things you do is you worry. And that worry removes you from the feeling of vulnerability. They say three things. Three types of overthinkers. One is the one who's the avoidance of negative emotion. There's a worry you have about negative emotions. You don't want to feel them so badly that you worry about it all the time and you're avoiding it. The second is the inhibition of emotion. There are feelings you don't want to feel, and you just don't want to feel it, like tears, like sadness, and so you worry instead. And the third is an inhibition of emotions, that you actually use your worry as a way of pushing down your emotions. Remember, what is worrying about? Worrying is about the future. Worrying is always about control. If anyone worries, they are a control person. That's it. A little worry, I understand. A lot of worry. Worry about your future. Worry about your job. Worry about what you didn't do with your life. All that worry, that's neurotic. Now, psychologists believe that worry, defined as a person's negative thoughts about a future event, evolved as a constructive problem-solving behavior. But excessive worrying does more harm than good. The excessive worrying will actually hurt you. Worrying about the future is a natural tendency, but for some people, it is a constant, unwelcome state of mind. Chronic worriers crave a sense of control they never seem to find. Spending too much time. Do you ever notice there are certain times of the month you worry more than other times of the month? Do you ever notice if there's certain hormones, certain chemicals, if you drink too much, if you eat too much coffee, if you have chocolate, if you're in your menstrual cycle? Do you worry much? Do you think that menopausal women worry more than non-menopausal women? Very interesting concept, because it would seem that menopause triggers an abandonment of, you know, a loss of the eggs, and that you're now feeling like you're kind of lost, and it would kind of open the door for worry. I wonder if they did studies on that. When over-worry seriously threatens a person's health and happiness, there's always drugs and psychotherapy. Now, the psychotherapy really helps when you're a worrier, because there's something about being able to talk to somebody about it that makes all the difference in the world. Over-worriers feel that fretting gives them kind of a control, that they get a control over a thing by worrying and worrying and worrying. But, you know, trying too hard to be in command of any situation given your thoughts. Researchers show that the more we dwell on negative thoughts, the more threats we feel are real. What about you, my friend? What's your attitude? Is it one of worry? Is it one of negativity? Is it one of love? Is it one of openness? Where would you like to be? Worrying is no bargain. It leaves us feeling off balance, insecure, quite frantic. We become pessimists. We look at the world in all its negatives. We wring our hands as if to try to anticipate what might go wrong next. worrying people, worried because their world has become ridiculed with doubt and distrust. And if you can't believe in life, you're doomed to fear it. You have to believe that there's this beauty out there, because there is. How do I know? Because I see it every day. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind here in WBAI. Why do we worry? Unfortunately, people who worry feel that they have no choice. Worry for them is the only way to survive things going wrong. Heaven help them if they get a bit complacent, lazy, or too relaxed. They are afraid, wham, life will deliver a blow from which they may never recover. If you're a worrier, you're probably convinced that if you don't worry enough, you'll not be able to figure things out. In that sense, you worry all, won't have to keep worrying. Armand DeMille, telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We're going to be talking more about worrying, and I want to talk to you about your worries. What's it like to live in that cage where you hear yourself all the time, all the time? Robert Leahy, director of the American Institute for Cognitive Therapy, said that 38% of people say they worry every day, and more than 19 million Americans are chronic worriers. Here's a quiz. Now, you could take this quiz and get a sense of how much worry you have. I worry that. Now, if I want to give you the phrase that challenges this, that goes with it, you give it a +4 or a 0. That means if you worry a lot, it's called 4. If you worry not at all about these things, it's called 0. I'll tell you the things that people worry about. I worry, 1, I cannot be assertive or express my opinion. Where would you put that? Why don't you make a score? Have Stephanie do the experiment with us. I cannot be assertive or express my opinion. You worry about that 0 to 4. I worry that my future job prospects are not good. 0 to 4. 4 means I worry a lot. I worry I'll never achieve my ambitions. 1 to 4. I worry I will not keep up my workload to date. I worry that my financial problems will restrict my holiday and travel. I worry that I can have no concentration. I worry I'm unable to afford things. I worry I feel insecure. I worry I cannot afford to pay my bills. I worry about my living conditions being inadequate. I worry that life has no purpose. I worry I don't work hard enough. I worry that I haven't achieved much. I worry that I make mistakes at work. I worry that I'm unattractive. I lack confidence. You add your score up. And if you add your score up, if you got many of those above 3, which you probably didn't get. So what do we do, my friends? Let's take a couple of your calls. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, I'm on the air.
Yes, you are.
When I heard your introduction and you were describing all of these things that people would worry about and then have no feeling. It's a way to avoid feeling.
Interesting, isn't it?
Pardon?
Interesting, isn't it?
My God, I think you're way off base.
Tell me.
I listened to every word with rapt attention, and I started shaking my head, and I said, Armand, what are you saying?
Good, let's look at it. Let's look at something you worry about.
I'm worried, and none of the things that you mentioned except pay the bills. I'm worried about global warming. It's real.
Of course.
I'm worried about what the hell Obama is going to allow more troops to go into Afghanistan.
Sure.
This is real. This is real. I worry about kids starving.
Uh-huh.
We have people in our streets that are homeless. What are you talking about?
Okay, well, let me explain. Let me explain.
Wait a minute. But I am passionate. I am concerned. And what's the difference between worry and concern? It seems the worry part of it, and when you feel that there's not a solution toward working toward a solution, is a concern, and you throw yourself into it and do everything you can. Is that neurotic? I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
But wait, before you do, oh, what a pity. What a pity. No, of course not. It's not neurotic. But if you worry to the point where you're incapacitated and you can no longer play a part in the solution, yes. Yes, if you can only identify a problem and do nothing about it and just sit there and worry about it, then you're going to be depressed. And that depression is the neurotic part. But if you are concerned and you take an active role in undoing some of the damages we see out there and you take an active role in fixing things, that's different. Worry is paralysis. You think about it. Somebody came to me before and said, a woman's son goes to Iraq. She's worried about him. Is that neurotic? That's an interesting question, don't you think? How could you not worry about your son in Iraq? How could your son be in Iraq? It becomes a very funny trap. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hello, Armand. Oh, my God, I got you. Oh, my God.
You got me.
I got you. You got us. But I was listening to what you said, and one of my main problems growing up was worrying about what other folks worried about me and how would I...
Oh, that's a terrible thing, isn't
it? Yeah, but I'm I'm amazed at it. As I get older, I'm much less worried about me being worried about, and I just try to let it be. But I'm learning more and more. But
let me ask you a question. What's your name?
Ron.
Hey, Ron. When you were a kid and you went to school, do you remember ever having fantasies about your house burning down or your apartment burning down?
No, it was more so dreams.
What?
It was dreams that I used to have to burn.
That's it. Tell me about it.
Well, it was a lot of it. Well, it's funny. I used to dream that the earth, I used to have these dreams a lot, but it doesn't have anymore, that the earth would be really just taut, and I would be left having to fix it.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Now, how does that go along with what you told me?
Well, I just connected it. It was my worry, and I was worrying about trying to perfectly fix everything. Everything was already perfect.
And it also goes along with two other things. You know, it goes along with a thing called school phobia, and it goes along a thing with social phobia. And in social phobia, man, there is nothing more that you worry about than what people think of you.
Yeah.
And that is murder. But on the other hand, when you get past it, you have such feeling and pity for people who go through it as well. You become a great teacher.
Yeah. Well, I'm grateful for the peace that's coming in my life. And I just called to say thank you. I love you. That's all I got to say.
Well, I love you too, and you're welcome very much.
All right, thank you.
Sure. You know, bottom line, if you don't trust your capacity to handle life, you spontaneously successful, you begin what-ifing everything. And you try a twisted attempt to figure out what goes wrong before it happens. You should see me in preparation of a radio show. I was putting on a radio show and I wasn't going to be there. I was what-ifing it right and left, upside, downside, backside, right side, before it happens. You become seduced by the notion that if you could figure out what's in store for you, then you can really feel less vulnerable. If you're not less vulnerable, then at least you're ready. Don't get me wrong. I have nothing against planning. After all, we wouldn't agree that it makes good sense to prepare for a presentation, to check the fluids in your car. Anticipation of life doesn't make you a worrywart. It's when your anticipation focuses only on those things that can go wrong. Why are you thinking about what could go wrong? came into my office today and I looked around me and I said, look at all the beautiful things that could happen today. And what are some of the things that could go wrong? But my first focus was on the beauty. And that's what I would like to hear all of you have as much as possible. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Trying to be too much in command of a given situation or of your own thoughts may backfire when your worries are intentionally overrun with repetitive apprehensions. Research shows that the more we dwell on negative thoughts, the more those threats feel real and the more they will repeat in our skull, sometimes uncontrollably. So sometimes that which we fear, we actually produce the certain fear itself. Let's take another call. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi, this is John.
Hello, John.
I took the quiz.
How'd you do?
And I don't worry about a lot of that stuff because the truth is, like my wife was saying, I seem to make up stuff to worry about. I try to find something to worry about, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure, I do.
If I do get a new job and change careers sometime in the future, what if I don't like it? What if the roof leaks and we can't fix it? You know, I'm looking for stuff.
So here's another thought. If your wife were to have another complaint about you, what would her complaint about you emotionally be?
If I could just relax and just enjoy.
She wants you present. Your wife
right.
says to you the following. John, she says, honey, sweetie, pie, cookie, honey, darling, would you please just lay here in my arms and
right.
just hold me and not think about anything for a little while? And you say, I'll do it, but what if the ceiling falls down? And she says, honey, darling, sweetie, pie, can you just sit and hold me in your arms for a little bit and let's not worry about the ceiling falling? Because part of what we're saying is that both of you are right. You need somebody to worry about the ceiling, but you need somebody to stop long enough so you can enjoy what life is like when
yeah,
you're not
right.
worried.
That's it.
Yeah. So when are you going to take your wife and hold her in your arms and sit down and stop worrying about the ceiling falling?
Well,
how about one day?
I'm on the Mill Show today, and then I'll hug her.
More than hug her.
Okay.
Hold her and don't say a thing about a negative.
Okay. I'll
not
give
a
shot.
Single negative. And watch what happens.
All right, Armand, I love your show.
John, thank you so much for calling in. 212-209-2900. Let me tell you about what Robert Leahy offered, 6 simple tricks you can use to cope with stresses of everyday life. Number one, he said, first, determine whether your worries will help you find practical solutions to a dilemma. Like, are your worries constructive? Write a to-do list. And then if your worries have a potential action that you could take, keep that worry. But if it spins and it just goes back to where it was, I worry about how I look, and you keep worrying about how you look, then that's not a productive worry. Number two, write down your unproductive worries throughout the day and set aside a chunk of time dedicated specifically to thinking about them. If it's 6 to 6:30, you say to yourself, I'm going to worry about that at 6 o'clock. And they found that people who set aside a time to worry actually do make use of that 6 o'clock time. And it reduces the worry load. The biggest is to learn to accept uncertainty. Worriers have a hard time accepting that they can never complete control everything. Leahy said that quietly repeating a worry for 20 minutes, I may never fall asleep, I will lose my job, it reduces its power. Most people get bored by their worries and they can't even make it to 20 minutes. So if you're going to get worried about something, stay on the same subject and stay on it for 20 minutes. Number four, be mindful. Mindfulness, it's a technique based on Buddhist teaching, preaches staying in the present moment and experiencing all emotions, even when they are negative. Leahy explains that there are ways to be mindful throughout your day, While deeply immersed in your favorite song or in conversation, try living in the now by practicing deep breathing. Let your body relax. Let tomorrow come tomorrow. Leave yesterday behind. The next thing you can do is reframe your worry. What happens if your worry becomes true? Could you survive losing your job or being dumped? Reframing how you evaluate disappointments in life can take the sting out of failure. Create a positive spin by asking yourself what you have learned from your bad experiences. Make a list of all those things that you worried about that came true and try to figure out what good it did for you. And lastly, put worries in perspective. Examine your past worries. Do you have a hard time remembering when they are? Very likely this means that those worries never came true and that you were able to cope and forget. Now think back, my friends, right now. Go back 20 years. What worry did you have 20 years ago? You remember it? 20 years ago, you had a major worry. Can I? Will I? How will I? How am I going to? Can you find one? Let me think about mine 20 years ago. Well, being somebody who never held on to worries too long, I find it difficult to go back 20 years. But I'm sure some of you callers will be able to call in after our break with information about worries that you had 20 years ago. Lastly, let me say to you before we take your calls that worrying can tax your body and promote cardiovascular problems. Worry is associated with elevating heart resting heart rate and low heart rate variability. It's like a funny thing, the way it taxes you. It kind of knocks you out. So there are many solutions. When we get back from our break, we're going to be taking your calls and we're going to be asking about it. By consciously trying to be ready for the worst, worriers are actually compromising their body's ability to react to a truly traumatic event. Do you know by preparing yourself for a danger, you reduce your ability to be ready for a danger? Increased worry is associated with an elevated resting heart rate, but low heart ability. Excessive worriers and GAD patients, that's generalized anxiety disorder patients, experience lower heart rate variability during periods of worry-like. In other words, their hearts return to a resting state after their worry, but the heart is under the stress of trying to deal with the worry when you're just producing it in your mind. And I think that's the main thing we got to figure out. It's in your mind. The worry's up there in your head. That's why your dog doesn't worry. That's why your cat doesn't worry. It's a human thing. You know, it's a human thing. It's something we picked up. It served us in some way. In so many ways, it hampers us. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'd like to see you be able to reduce the level of worry that you feel. And maybe when we get back from our break, we'll talk about it. And we'll talk about what is real and what is not real. And then we'll take your calls at 212-209-2900. It's nice after the marathon to have been back. This will be the first time we'll be able to take your phone calls after a month of being in the fun-driving mode. But we do want to thank all of you for the money you donated to WBAI. And for any of you who have made a promissory note who have not yet sent in the money, please write that check and send it in, because it's a good percentage of what we get here. But this station is not to worry about. It's just a great thing. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with you in a little bit.
Thank you.
Do you know what language we're singing in, my friends? This is Icelandic music. Iceland. What makes Icelandic music different than Scandinavian music in general is the Scandinavians tended to drop the Latin influence in the Iceland in their music. So it sounded more Germanic. You know, when you hear Scandinavian music in general, it sounds more Germanic. But the Iceland, they kept a Latin influence. And so you hear these soft, soft vowels. A very pretty language. That's Enarson, Thomas Enarson, Enarsson. The name of the album is Truno, Truno. Something new, something always here at WBAI for you. We're taking your calls at 212-209-2900. We're talking about worry. Now, who am I talking to? I'm talking to WBAI. Who, if anybody, worries more than just about anybody? Thank God we do. But do we worry or are we concerned? I am concerned. I am actively, vibrantly, emphatically, energetically concerned. Am I worried? No. Do I believe in humans? Do I believe in life? Do I believe in power? Do I believe in myself? Yes. Do I believe in you? Yes. Do I worry? I'm concerned. And sometimes I see people about whom I'm very concerned. And sometimes I hear people who call me up on the radio and I'm very concerned about them. But there's a difference. Concern doesn't occupy my life. It doesn't distract me from myself. It doesn't take me away from me. Worry does. Worry puts me in a different time and place. Worry puts me in the future. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hello.
Hello. This is Sue. And I come from a father who was very panicky all the time, and I and my three siblings also. I thought it was just me. I found out later as an adult that we all have some of that from Dad, you know, the panic and the worry. My question is...
Was your father generally indecisive?
You know what? He was a good match with my mother, who made all the decisions.
Right, so he was indecisive and she made all the decisions?
I think he was indecisive. Although he was structured, he worked, he, you know, did everything, but... I don't know that he made this. I don't know.
Was your father committed to somebody, a boss, a company?
No.
Did he work for himself?
Yeah.
What did he do?
Early on he was a musician, and he started playing professionally when he was 12 years old, and then when he kept working as a musician when I was 5 years old, he had to give up his music jobs and work. Well, he did work on the weekends, but during the week he worked with his parents in their dry cleaning store. And then later on, when they closed that, he went into his own dry cleaning store and sold clothing. My parents sold at the flea markets. He's a very entrepreneurial guy,
mm-hmm.
But
a lot to worry about.
Nervous, huh?
A lot to worry about.
Yeah, but he grew up that way. He would fall asleep on the couch, and then if he was awake and suddenly he'd go, wah, 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 wah. He'd start screaming, you know. He was like always very nervous.
Well, what did that do to you, Sue?
You know, a good question. It made me feel very insecure, and being the first of four, I was responsible for my younger siblings, and I was treated like an adult. And I remember I was recounting to my therapist this week that when I was a little kid, maybe 5 or 6 years old, my parents went out and had a teenager babysit, and in the middle of the night I heard what I described as the refrigerator falling over, big bang, boom, and it turns out that they had gotten into the liquor, and my parents never, ever would comfort me for any traumatic thing, never, even...
Wait, who got into the liquor?
The teenagers that were babysitting. The girl invited friends over, and they were drinking, and I guess drunk and banging into things, I don't know.
And you got scared.
Well, I was asleep. Yeah, it woke me up. I was frightened. And my parents took me to the police station as a witness to file a report, but never did they reassure me or explain anything to me. I was
I'm so sorry.
Kind of an extension. Yeah, and so I want to ask you, is it possible, I've been working on this actually very recently, and I came to something that fear, I think, is the bottom layer of all of, you know, the worry and stuff. Is that possible, just like a post-traumatic stress disorder? I don't know. I have stitches in my lip, and my mother told me two different stories about how I got them. I don't know what they did or what they didn't do to me.
Well,
I don't know,
I would say that the fear has a big part of it, but I think there's a bigger part. Okay. And I think it's your difficulty with your own anger. Your inability to face and experience your own anger.
Yeah.
I think that's your pit. That's where you're going to find at the bottom. At the bottom, underneath all this, we're going to find a rageful Sue who's never been allowed to manifest.
Yep.
That's what I think we're going to find. And I think until you can tap into that and find that part of you and experience it, and I mean just therapeutically, but to really go into it and feel it completely, you're probably always going to be one step away from dealing with it. But I would think about it as your rage to deal with, so much your fear.
Okay. So I am, I think I'm a 4. And
I hear.
Self-pres.
Yep.
You know, how do I, because now I've achieved menopause. See, when, you know, I think it's sort of an achievement, but maybe it did have an effect on it. Well, certainly I'm tired. I'm not as resilient as I was, and I want to accomplish. All my life I've wanted to accomplish things, and when I really am able to focus, I really white knuckle it. I do great things, and I am, you know, I feel great about myself, and other people also like what I do.
So if you wanted an interim, short-term kind of dynamic approach,
yeah.
I would do something like intense feeling work right now at the depth of the emotions and drag them right up to the front.
How do I do that?
There's a woman named Ori Amini Morrison who I work with who does that. She specializes in that just very short-term, you know.
How long is short?
long is 17 years. No, how long, meaning like, you know, a couple of months or maybe a month.
Really?
Yeah. Just get in it because you're tapping it now. And with the motivation of the menopause and all the emotions that come with that, it's a good opportunity.
Yeah.
It's a terrific opportunity. Most people going through menopause try to brain their way through it. They try to think their way through it, you know?
I'm trying to feel.
Your way through.
I wake up. I have these cold episodes where I shake. My teeth chatter.
Uh-huh.
And I've actually gone, I was in the emergency room, not last night, the night before, all night, because as you were saying, cardiac stuff, all of a sudden my pressure, my pulse started doing the Macarena,
mm-hmm.
And it was, whoa, because I always have very good pressure, very good everything, I'm, you know, take no drugs, nothing, and that scared the heck out of me. And these cold episodes wake me up at 5 or 5:30 in the morning. I don't even need to look at the clock. And there's a whole cascade of symptoms. And I just shake. And I'm internally cold, internally freezing cold.
Well, let me ask Stephanie Dombra, who's in the studio. Stephanie, pick this up for a minute, will you? Is there anything that you could think that would relate to that menopausally?
Well, usually it's the
opposite.
Opposite, right?
So we're talking about this one, though.
Yeah. So I don't know what her body.
Why would a hypothermia right now? Why would there be a loss of body heat resulting in a shaking, resulting in a palpitations?
You have
and
to
a
check
drop
your
in
thyroid.
Blood pressure?
It's low.
Yeah,
it's you have checked your thyroid, and your body temperature is normal.
Yeah.
98.6.
Yeah,
roughly.
When they took it at the hospital. I mean, I didn't do first morning, but yeah.
Well, sounds like something's going on the inside.
I know.
And if you got the right medical attention for it, I would say next step, go into the emotional stuff and just dig all the way in. I've seen people do it. They've gotten some amazing results.
I would like to do that. I went to Chinese medicine, and they tell me that they can't even get my pulses because my energy is so depleted. It's so low.
Yeah.
So I like your idea.
We've got to find the tiger inside you.
Oh, there's a big tiger.
I know there is. I could hear her.
Yeah, but I
what does she sound like?
Well, I sang to you on the radio a few months back, so that's what she sounds like. She has a beautiful soprano voice that you know wants to be heard every day.
I got you. Well, could I hear just the pure roar right now?
Okay, let's see. I'm not good at that. It's uncomfortable for me, but I'll do.
Beautiful. I'll take that. I'll take that anytime. Give me one more.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Why?
Will you follow the doctor, please?
Okay, doctor.
Here we go.
Doctor knows best. Okay.
There you are. How beautiful you are like that. It's great.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for being there.
Sure.
Okay.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Nice to be back with you, all my lions and tigers and bears. Let's take another call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. Hello there.
Not yet.
You know, there are some benefits to worrying. If worry is an integral part of what makes us human, can it also serve a positive function is the question. Graham Davy of the University of Sussex in England was one of the first people to suggest potential plus sides to worry. He explored a range of consequences stemming from his natural tendency. He found people reported that although fretting made things worse, it can also be constructive. It can motivate you into action. It can resolve problems, and it could reduce anxiety on many levels.
Okay.
212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand.
Hello.
Hi, this is Patrice. I just like to a suggestion to the previous caller in terms of the menopause is to look into nutrition. A lot of times when we go into menopause, you know, there are certain nutritional imperatives that occur, and the body needs more supports, you know, and things like wheatgrass and other additional supplements can sometimes help. So I just urge her to try and look into the
nutrition. Sounded like, from what she said, she had strongly taken that path.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
And why, have you gone through things like that?
Well, I'll tell you, Armand, truthfully, something else has occurred. I'm not generally a worrier. But my entire world has actually been turned upside down recently, where I've actually been exposed to certain political realities that have caused me a great deal of worry, I would say, for about 2 years. And then it was exacerbated by the fact that I was actually on some computer e-boards, and I was looking at the manipulation of boards, and it occurred to me, I'm actually looking at professional military psyops, people coming in with one viewpoint, somebody covertly working on them, and them leaving with another viewpoint. And I pursue that, and then on these boards, I actually announced, and it was the AOL e-boards, I actually announced that they have counterintelligence and cyber agents working on here, that they're using psyops, and I insisted upon it. And sure enough, to my amazement, all hell broke loose. There were cyber agents. I was surveilled. They knew I was feeding squirrels in the park. They knew my profession. They let me know it. And I realize now a great deal of my security came from considering the fact, okay, our country is imperfect, but I always kind of assumed we would hold on to our democracy. And when I was a kid in high school, I had this, like, bravado that even if we got into trouble, like with something like the Weimar Republic or Nazi Germany, I always felt confident that me and my fellow Americans, we will handle this. I mean, I really remember that as a child. We'll take
Patrice, care of it. Let me ask you something before you go further. Has this all happened in the last couple of years?
Yes, it happened recently.
When did it happen? How long ago?
It happened earlier in the year. In a year.
And did any other coincidental losses happen to you at the same time?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. For me, that was a loss. I mean, if you can imagine somebody telling you who you were.
No, I meant any other.
No other. But you see, I consider the loss of the security that comes with being an American in what you consider to be a democracy, to me, that's a very great loss.
Of course.
No, and it's scary that something that could happen.
I'm asking you a question, and you're not hearing my question, Patrice.
Yeah.
Did you have any other losses? Did you lose a friend? Did you lose a boyfriend? Did you lose a girlfriend? Did you lose a parent?
No, I didn't have any other loss other than the fact that I'm one of these nerdy types who read laws and things like that and have actually read different laws and everything.
Have you been in a relationship for a long time?
Armand, you're doing something very interesting.
What am I doing?
Well, you're going to align it to the very basic human need, which comes down to, you know, socially what is happening in your life and along libidinal needs. And that's not what is occurring. I'm really kind of telling you, honestly, okay, what I ran into.
I believe, Patrice, yeah,
it's not
this
a
is total honesty, yes.
To the laws of your relationship. It's not aligned to the libido. It's not aligned to any of that. It's aligned to the fact that something happened to me, which dragged out a major foundation of security. Okay, which is, I'm in a democracy, I will be protected, and, okay, sometimes things go wrong, but now, okay, I live each day not knowing.
Okay, but Patrice, can you understand from my perspective that when somebody tells me about people who are investigating them and people who are checking on them, I always have in my mind the one thing I cannot believe or disbelieve it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's not true, because I've had as many people coming to me telling me of things like this that weren't true as I have had people coming to me with things like this that are true. The example of it, the intensity of it, the power of what you're saying means that you have been the focus of somebody's attention in such a negative way that it's so totally criminal. I can't help with it. I can't help. The only thing I could help is say to you, gee, I wish your body didn't register it as severely as it does. I wish there was some way for you to find some freedom underneath your wings so that you didn't have to get trapped in it.
Well, I appreciate it. I have realized after 2 years, unfortunately, I use several techniques. I do compartmentalize a bit.
Yeah.
I also try to emphasize the positive. But I've had to develop a whole new construct, which is not dependent upon what my fellow Americans will do.
I understand that, Patrice.
Because to me, my fellow Americans are a safeguard. And I'm actually seeing people now who would have the capacity or the lack of self-whatever, who could walk inside a camp, who do whatever they're told, who can easily be, and they were a large part of my safeguard to being safe, and I can't rely on them anymore. So I have to really change everything positive.
And you have to worry. And that's a life of worry, sure. I understand.
You know, so I really see where compartmentalization can come in and just take it, you know, each day, you know. As one lady said, you know, I was telling her about this, she says, well, don't worry, we can still shop. But I just want to say, unfortunately, it was a shock, and I just like to assure everybody, okay, when you're on those boards and YouTube, they are now embedded with cyber agents, okay?
Okay, now wait, we're going to have to stop. We've run a little too long, and we're going to have to be going. So I want to thank you very much for calling in today.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So sometimes the pain is so big, you just got to live with it, you know? Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I hope you have a good enough listening, discerning ear. I will be back with you next Wednesday. We won't be on Tuesday. We'll be on next Wednesday at 1 p.m. And we will be on thereafter every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. If you want to send me an email, it's armand@thepositivemind.com. And Music Michael for you, a little Sonny Rollins.